Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I face my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as his grace flowed down upon me, undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is. But the best way that I can say it is this. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Through it all, God's been good.
Amen. Hasn't God been good?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good. That's the only thing he knows to do and be is good, because he is good. Amen. Actually, I just want to take it a step further. God is great. Amen. He's awesome. I don't use that word a lot. You know, people talk about awesome cars and awesome dates and awesome this. I want to tell you, to me, there's only one thing awesome, or one person awesome, and that's God. God is awesome. Amen. And he's certainly good. And I can agree with the songwriter. I've had far more ups than I've had downs. I've had some downs in life. You have too if you've been living long enough. But I can tell you this, God's been good to me even when I've been down.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just so thankful that God is God.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that I know him. I'm thankful that I know the Lord as my personal Savior. Well, you have your Bible turned to John chapter number 5, and I want to preach a message to you that God's laid on my heart. We're going to be talking some Sunday mornings about miracles, and I just felt led of the Lord to do that, this being the first Sunday of the new year, and I kind of went there a little bit last week, and just been studying some of the ministry of the Lord Jesus again through the gospel accounts, and the Lord led me to this particular account because of one particular thing that I want to share with you this morning. Jesus asked the man a question that it boggles my mind. It's just something. I mean, here's a man that's been laying in this place for 38 years. All right, that's before Jesus was even born into this world. Now, Jesus is God. He's always been. But I mean, before he even came into this world as Jesus, this man was in his condition. And Jesus goes there, and he looks at the man. And I want you to turn over, if you would, in verse number 6, and look at the last part of it. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now, we'll get into that in just a moment, but I want to take this phrase and ask you a question. Now, in essence, this is what's happening here, okay? Jesus looked at this man that's been infirmed, had an infirmity for 38 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. And he asked him a question. He said, and I'm just going to bring it up to today's vernacular, okay? He said, "Do you want to be made well? How would you like to be healed? Do you want to be?" Now, you know, you would think that if a man's been laying in a condition, the Bible calls it impotent, okay? That means without strength, without power. That's what the word impotent means, okay? He had no strength on his own, and he testified to that, as we shall see here in just a moment. And Jesus said, "How would you like to be made whole? Do you want that?" And when you really get to thinking about it, why would you need to ask somebody that's been laying in a condition for 38 years, "Do you want to be made whole?" But then I thought about something. I thought about, I've known people for about that long that Jesus has been asking that question to, and they still haven't answered yes. They still haven't said, "Lord, I'd like to have a miracle." They've been living in that misery, in that condition, same old place, same old stuff, same old way, for 38 years. And the question is still being posed, "Would you like a change? Would you like a miracle? Would you like God to get involved and do something for you?" And they still haven't answered yes. And then it all began to come clear, make sense to me. See, God is sovereign. And God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't even want men to be sick. I hear people say sometimes, "I can't believe God done that. God didn't do that. Sin did. Stubbornness did." See, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is a sovereignty to God, and I'm thankful for the sovereignty of God. I'm glad that God is in control, aren't you? I'm glad for that. I know that there's not a fiber in my being that doesn't believe that God is in control. And yet I know that God has given human responsibility. God has given us free will. I think about this. I'm glad that God has elected us. You say, "Well, I just don't know, preacher. That word election scares me." It doesn't scare me. It's biblical. You say, "I'm a father, and God is my father. And as a father, if my children were in a burning house, it is my will that none of them would perish. And if I'm outside of that house and my children are in that house burning, and I have the ability to go and to save every one of them, what kind of monster would I be to take two and leave two? Don't you tell me God has elected some folks to go to hell. That's not my father. That's not my father. That might be some men's father, but that's not my father. See, my father is willing to save to the uttermost. My father is willing to take and gather all the children out of the fire. But now if I go and I try to get them and they fight and they duck and they dodge and they hide and I can't get them, when it's no longer the responsibility of the Father, they have exercised their free will. And because they have exercised that God has given them, and by the way, why would God give it if God didn't expect us to exercise it? And so if they've exercised their free will and they won't come, then brethren, listen. It takes divine sovereignty, but it also involves human responsibility. And so when Jesus looked down at this man, he could have just looked down. He could have skipped verse number six, the latter part of it. He could have skipped verse number 7 and just right into verse number 8. Jesus could have walked up to that man and said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, couldn't he have? Could have just skipped asking the man. But the Lord Jesus, as sovereign God, involved human responsibility. Now, this ought to teach us something, and this brings me to my question to you. And I pose it as a question from heaven. Do you want a miracle? Do you want God to do something in your life? Are you impotent? Are you in a way to where you need heaven to get involved? You know, I would say that there's probably a good percentage of people sitting on the sound of my voice, not only in this building, but that are watching by live stream, that if we would be just totally transparent before the God of heaven, we would say, "I need heaven to get involved in a situation of my life." Maybe a marriage. Now, Jesus can do miracles at marriages. Actually, that's the first miracle that he did, was at a marriage. It might be your family. You need God to do, not your marriage, but you need God to do something in your whole family. If you'll, and we'll look at this next week, but in John chapter 4, he done something for a nobleman's son. He done something for a family. Can I tell you that Jesus can do something in your family? Amen. But now he's asking, do you want him to do it? See, this is the same Jesus that stands at the door of the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl and knocks. Right? He doesn't just open the door and come in. He knocks. He's waiting on you to open. There may be someone here today listening by live stream, and Jesus has been knocking at your heart's door, and he's knocking to get in, and you're thinking, "I need a sign. I need a sign." What do you need a sign for? He's knocking on your door. Open the door and let him in. Away with signs. Amen. I want you to follow along with me and ask yourself this question. Not do I need a miracle. My goodness, there's probably few of us in this building that could say no to that. You know why? Because we have a very good definition in verse number 3 of mankind. Don't we? Look at verse number 3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. That about sums us up, brethren. Now he breaks it down into blind and halt, withered. We're just a messed up bunch. We sinners are just messed up. So, well now, preacher, it's them sinners. Oh no. Oh no, you don't. It's us sinners. We're messed up. We're broken. We're broken. We need the God of heaven to get involved in our lives. We do. Let me just break down a few things for you. Just, I hope this will really be a help to you. I want to help somebody this morning. You know what? I could just, and don't take this wrong now. If nobody leaves this building today, if nobody listening by live stream says, "Wow, that preacher preached the message," that doesn't mean anything to me. But if you can leave here today and say, "What a God, what a Savior we have, what a powerful God we have, God can do anything in my life, I just need to trust Him for it," mission accomplished. Amen. I want every person under the sound of my voice to know that there's a God in heaven who loves you, who sees your need, who cares about you, who knows more about your situation than you know yourself. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. When Jesus saw him lie, watch this now, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. So you think you're the only one that knows about it. You think you and someone else knows about it. But can I tell you, there's a God in heaven who knows more about your situation, who knows more about my situation than I know about my situation. God knows about your situation. So I wish God knew, preacher. God, I'm here to tell you, God does know. God knows about your situation. See, I can know about your situation, but there's a step that God takes that's greater than what a man can know about your situation. God cares. You say, preacher, don't you care? I don't care like God cares. And I'm just being transparent with you. I care about people. I do. But I'm glad God cares on a whole nother level.
Amen.
God cares. And the devil's been telling somebody here that God doesn't care. I'm here to tell you that God does care.
Amen.
God does care.
Amen.
God knows and God cares and God wants to do something about it. But he's asking you this morning, not do you need a miracle, do you want a miracle? Do you want me to get involved? If you do, then you're going to have to do what I say. Amen. Isn't that what happened here? Listen, there's no need. You're not going to have to go to some Bible college and take a course to understand this morning's message. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, we need to get deep. Wow, we can't even wade in the shallow water. Here, the Bible is making it very clear for us. Very clear. Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to be changed? Do you want your situation to change? Do you want some help? The man didn't even know how to answer it. A simple yes would have been fine. Did you notice the way the man answered? Still relying on the same old broken way. Can I tell you that's the problem with a lot of us? We have got so much tradition in us. Oh, we claim that we're not traditionalists, but we are so fixed on the way we've always done it. I've been laying here for 38 years. My grandma laid here for 38 years, and I'm going to continue to lay here for 38 more years until this old broken way comes through. Can I tell you, that broken way hasn't come through, and that broken way is not going to come through.
Amen.
We need to get outside of ourselves and get in God and let God do something in our lives. Now notice here what the scripture says. It says this, look in chapter 5, it says that after this, Jesus done a couple of miracles. And up to this time, they were private. And we may go back and look at them. I know we'll look at the nobleman's son. We may even go all the way back to the wedding where Jesus, well, he brought a little joy to a wedding. By the way, for those of you young folks, and we've got some in the building, thank God for you for having Jesus be a part of your wedding. If you miss an invitation to your preacher or to somebody in your church family or even your immediate family, that's all right, but don't you miss the invitation to Jesus to be a part of your wedding now.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, don't you know that that couple was glad they invited Jesus that day. You make a good decision when you invite Jesus to be part of your marriage ceremony.
Amen.
Amen. And the scripture says here, and you say, well, he turned water to wine. I don't even want to get into that. You'll never convince me that the sinless, spotless Lamb of God has anything to do with that filthy stuff that ruins lives and wrecks homes, takes food out of the mouth of children. You'll never convince this preacher of that. I don't care how much Greek you know.
Amen.
That stuff is filthy. It stings at the end like an adder. It destroys lives.
Yeah.
Woe unto him that put a strong drink to his brother's lip. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whoso is deceived thereby is not wise. That's the Bible. That's not what some liberal, spineless preacher says. That's the Word of God, brethren. It's important to understand. Jesus can do miracles. Do you want a miracle? You say, well, sure I do. Do you really? Let's see. Well, the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse number 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. I find this very interesting. He's the one who established the feast as God the Father, and now he's coming as God the Son to participate in it. Isn't that something? Can I tell you that God just doesn't say, do as I say. He says, do as I do. God is holy. He says, be ye holy. Amen. Yes. And so here's the Lord Jesus coming to the feast. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market, sheep gate. By this gate is called a market because it was in that gate where they would bring the sheep and other animals that were sold. It was called market, and as well as gate, because it was a place where they sold the animals for the sacrifices in the temple. And so it says that they were at this particular gate, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now the word Bethesda, if you know Bethel, Bethel means what? House of God. Beth, house of, and then God, right? El is El Elyon, Elohim. El is a suffix or a prefix meaning God. Bethel, Bethesda, house of mercy is what this means, okay? So it's the house of mercy. And that's what this area means in the Hebrew tongue. And it had five porches. Some people say, well, you know, those porches were significant and symbolized the grace of God. Perhaps they did, I don't know. Someone else said, well, they represent the Pentateuch, the five writings of Moses, showing the law and how that the law in itself could not bring completion or could not bring healing and help to man. It could show man that he needed help, but it couldn't bring that help. Well, that's possible too. I don't know. I know it had five porches, and I know that there were people, whether it was superstition, whether it was tradition, whether it was conviction or belief, there were people that would bring their loved ones or those that had conditions themselves that would make their way to these porches, and they would fill up these porches. In verse number 3, it says, in these, those five porches, you see, in these, those five porches, lay a great multitude. Now, I want you to get the picture in your mind. We're not talking about going into a little area where there's like a half a dozen impotent or sick folk. There's five porches. And the Spirit of God moved on John and said, I want you to really emphasize that there was a not just a multitude, which is many, but a great multitude. I mean, there everywhere you look, there was sick folks. Can I tell you, that's kind of the way I live my life. Everywhere I look, I see sick folk. I see impotent folk. I see people that need something from God. I see people that need a touch from heaven. I see people that can't do it in their own. I see people that realize they need something from God, but they don't have what it takes to get it. I pray to God that you would live life that way. I can remember a day when it meant nothing to me, when men would walk by and folks would walk by, and I never one time thought about their soul. I never one time thought about their eternity. Hey, I didn't even think about my eternity. But thank God for the day that Jesus saved my soul, gave me a compassion and a hope and a help that I want to be a help to somebody. I want to point somebody in that direction. Amen. The scripture said here that on that in those porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk. As I told you, that word impotent means without strength, without power. See, God is omnipotent, which means all powerful. These were not omnipotent, they were impotent, which means no power. They had no strength. I'm talking to somebody this day. The Spirit of God is speaking to somebody this day that you have gotten to this place. Maybe not for 38 years, I don't know. Maybe for 38 days, maybe 38 months. I don't know how long. But you feel helpless. You need God to do something. Your life is spiraling out of control, or you're laying there and you feel helpless and hopeless and you need something from God. I'm here to tell you there's a God in heaven who's going to arrive on your scene just any moment. Maybe he's already arrived and he's been asking for some time. He's been asking. And you've been given the wrong answer. Notice again, this always has puzzled me. Don't have the answer. I just know that God has here. By the way, and I'm not going to get off on this, you have to have a King James Bible to have these next little parts in the Bible. If you don't, you've got a little footnote because these other watered-down translations, they leave out the latter part of verse number 3 and 4. I don't know why. I don't know why they leave out a lot. Think I do. But the scripture says that they were there waiting for the moving of the water. Perhaps just some type of superstition that people have attached. Maybe it was a tradition. Maybe their father, their grandfather was there. They knew someone, and so they had followed suit. And then it says in verse number 4, an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. You say, now, the preacher, did that really happen? Well, I have to believe something happened. All right, I mean, listen, there was a great number. Now, I don't know that all of them were laying there 38 years. Perhaps some of them had not been there 38 years. Maybe some had been there longer than 38 years. Right? Yeah. But Jesus said, I'm going to reach down and make a difference in one man's life. Wouldn't you like for Jesus to do that today? And that one person be you? That one situation be yours? Oh, preacher, that doesn't affect me. Yeah, I know. Listen, there's some folks, you don't want God's help. Maybe somewhat, you really don't. That's obvious. Some people love misery. You're not looking at one of them that does. I love joy. Amen. I love abundant living. I lived in misery before I got saved. I don't want to live there anymore. I've had that address, okay? You listening to me? Misery's been my address. I don't want that address anymore. I moved from that address. Living at a different address now. Jesus got involved. He wants to get involved in, he wants to transport and transform you too. Now hear me. And the scripture says that there was a troubling of the water. I know the Bible teaches in the book of the Revelation chapter 16 that there is an angel of the waters. Now whether this happened or not, I don't know, I can't say. I just know that something had to be going on there to keep these folks around those five porches for that period of time. Something had to be going on. This man talked like he had seen it. I'd say after 38 years that he saw something. To be laying there for that long of a time. And you say, well, now, was he there that long? Well, look what Jesus said. He saw him lying, verse number 6. And he knew that he had been there a long time in that case. You see that in verse number 6? Jesus confirmed this man had a need, and that need had been there a long time. As a pastor, I see folks all the time, and they just keep stumbling over the same old campfires. Same old story. I'm not making light of your situation. God is concerned about your situation. God wants to get involved, but he's asking somebody this morning, hear me now. There's a Savior who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he's interceding on your behalf, but he's asking you right now, wilt thou be made whole? You want your life to change? Now, at first glimpse, we would all jump up and say, yes! Well, now, you're going to have to do something for it to change. For change to take place, change needs to be initiated. You've got to change to bring change. Anyone that thinks you can do the same old thing and it brings change is dumber than, well, some of our former presidents. You've got to do some things to change to bring change. But there's something in the human nature, whether it be me or you, in my life, God's had to just smite me in my heart and say, hey, you're expecting something different, but you're doing the same thing. You can't do the same thing and expect things to change. Gonna have to change. But this man couldn't change. He didn't have the power to. But the Word of God came to see him. The Word of God can give you the power to change. Please hear me this morning now. Amen. You say, preacher, oh, how I wish my situation, I wish my lot in life were different. I got my heart broken in half. I was telling Sharon and Jean at the dinner table one day this past week, I had a precious young child come up to me and say, pray for my family. I seen hurt in her face, and I saw sorrow in her eyes, and I heard regret, I heard it in her voice, and it broke my heart. And I said, oh, God, God, if you don't do something, there's no telling what's going to become of that family, but more importantly, what's going to become of that young girl if you don't get involved. And I had to repent for not praying as I should. And God is my witness. That family has been in the closet with me as I go to God and pray. But God knows if they don't say, I will be made whole, God can't do anything. You're tying the hands of a God in heaven that wants to do something in your life. Don't tie God's hands. Don't tie his hands. He said here, this certain man was there. Verse number 5, he had had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, and he said unto him, will thou be made whole? I just can't get over that. You would have thought this man would have said, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, how I've waited, I have longed, have yearned for the change to come in my life. Can you do something in my life? If you can, make me whole. But he didn't say that. Why? He was broken. He was broken. He was conditioned. He had come to the place in his life where he thought, it's got to be this way. I'm just going to keep trying. I'm just going to keep laying here until somebody does something in my life. Some preacher, some brother in Christ, some family is going to do something that's going to bring about the change in my life that I need. Can I tell you that there's just something that needs to happen in our lives sometimes that only God can do. No man can do it. We need God to do it.
Amen.
And so when this man was approached by Jesus and said, wilt thou be made whole? Look at what he said. He answered and said, sir, I got to tell you something. Troubles, hardships have a way of humbling us. They really do. Sir. Sir. No telling what this man had heard about Jesus. But he said, sir. Sir. I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I tell you, our situations can make us very selfish. Can't they? I wonder what happened to the people who got in the water. The Bible says that they were made whole. I wonder what happened when they were made whole. You would have thought that some of them would have stuck around to the next troubling of the water to put someone in. You would have thought. But then again, I know some folks who have been made whole who could care less if people get put in. They could care less if anybody finds out about Jesus or about the grace of God and the goodness of the Lord. They just kind of go on their way and say, well, you know what? That's them. Don't you be that person. God help me. I don't want to be that person. I have enough of shortcomings as it is. I certainly don't want to be somebody who doesn't care. Is not concerned about those that are laying there in need of help. So ask again. You want a miracle? You want Jesus to do something in your life? Not do you need him to. You do. You do. I do. But do you want him to? Look at what he said. I want you to look at that first word, wilt. That involves the man's will. What's your will, sir? What's your will? Not what is God's will. What's your will? God's will is that none should perish. God's will is to help you, or He wouldn't have been there. But now it's your move. Do you want some help? I need some help. That wasn't the question. Do you want some help? How bad do you want it? Are you willing to do what God said? Or are you just going to kick back and go into default? Same old, right? Isn't that the way we can be, brethren? Hey, I'm saying us now. God says, I want to do something, and we'll kick right into the same old default. Well, now, let's see. How did we do that last time, and the last time, and the last time, and the time before that? No, no, no. If God's going to get involved, God doesn't have to do the same thing with you that He did with me, or with me that He did with you, or the other. God, listen, God can do things specific to your situation. You want to be made whole? And the man said, well, I don't have any, man. And when the water's troubled, and he didn't get it. He didn't get it. And so I'm going to close this by asking, do you get it? Do you get what God's asking when He asks this question? Do you want to be made whole? Well, now I've got to rely on this and that, and there's a pool of water, and then I got to get a man to do it. Now, this is between you and God. This is not between you and the preacher and God. Hear me, please. This is not between you and someone who loves you. Listen, we have a loving church family here. No doubt many of you have loving families who love you. But this is not there. This is that man. This is you. And this is Jesus. And Jesus is asking you, wilt thou be made whole? What's your will? And this man said, well, I need this. And he said, no, you don't. Now, I believe his motives were pure, or else Jesus wouldn't have done what he's getting ready to do. He just didn't see it. Jesus said in verse number 8, rise. 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 Get up. And then he said, take up thy bed. And walk. Notice what the next scripture says. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed. Now, what does the scripture say that he didn't do? It didn't mention that he rose. But he got the power to do it. So he did rise. And he took up his bed and he walked. What did he do, preacher? He did what God said to do. You want a miracle? You want God to get involved in your situation? You've got to do what God says to do. You can't do just some of it now. You can't say, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to adjust this, and I'm going to do it this way. No, no, no. This man did exactly what Jesus said to do. See, I have a problem with this sometimes. Do you? To where I think, well, you know what? I'm going to do this. And the Spirit of God said, no, that's not what I said do. I said do this. God ever told you to do something and you try to take some of it and then add your part to it and say, now we're going to do it this way. And God said, no, that's not what I said do. See, this man had to do exactly what God said to do. By the way, you do too. I do too. You have to do it to get saved and you have to do it to get something from heaven. Listen to me now. So when I'm going to do this, believe on Jesus, I'm not going to repent and I'm going to get saved. No, you're not. Now, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. See, we've got to do everything Jesus says to do in order to get what Jesus says we can have. Please don't miss this. This man did exactly what Jesus said to do. You say, well, he didn't have the power to do it. You don't either. You don't either. I don't either. I don't have the power to do what God wants me to do in myself, but God will provide it. Now the question is, am I going to use it to do what God said to do? He did. And so the Bible says that he got up and he walked, and the same was a Sabbath day. Now this happened immediately. You say, preacher, I need some change now. I mean, I'm in such a way that I can't wait till tomorrow. That's okay. Just do what Jesus said now, and things will begin to go into action. I'm not telling you you won't have another problem. As a matter of fact, this man, he didn't walk probably from here to that door there, and he already had a problem. So don't you leave here this morning and say, well, the preacher said all I got to do is what God said to do, and I won't have any more problems. I didn't say that. How'd you get that out of what I said? I did not say that. I said if we will do what God said do, we'll get some help. But it doesn't mean we won't have any problems. This man did what Jesus said to do, and notice what happens in verse number 10. Therefore, the Jews said unto him, therefore, unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Boy, I tell you right now, some folks, when God begins to work in your life and do the miracle, you're gonna have some folks like this. Now, are you sure? Instead of these folks rejoicing that this man was walking, they were concerned that he was carrying around his bed. I just can't, you know, I've met these folks. Their descendants are still around today. Nitpick at everything you do. Hey, you leave me and God alone. Amen?
Amen.
And when you're doing it God's way and folks come to you, say, I tell you what you do. You go find out what God wants you to do. I found out what God wants me to do, and I can find it right in here. Can you find out what God wants you to do out of here? And when you do, do it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't have time to go into great detail with this, but they wanted to know, who did this? Let me give you these three quick things. I want you to write them down, then I'll be through. All right? Write them down. What happens when you do what God says to do? You say, well, I've done what God said to do, and nothing happened. You never do what God says to do without something happening. Number one, write it down. Number one, his body changed. When he did what God said to do, his body changed. He began to walk. Amen. This man had not been walking. When you and I do what God says to do, it'll bring about change in our walk. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Not only did his body change, his behavior changed in his worship. Notice what the scripture says. They went unto him and they said, hey, who is that that told you? And he said, you know what? He said, I don't know. Look in verse number 13. The man in verse number 13 that was healed, he wist not who it was. They asked him, who was it? He said, I don't know. But later, in verse number 14, later, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. So his body changed, he walked, but Jesus said, your behavior is going to change. You need to quit sinning. Now listen to me. This man, and I want you to listen very carefully right here. This man was in this condition because of sin. But I'm not saying that you're in your condition because of sin. You can be doing everything right and still have some hard places in life. Amen. You can be doing everything right and still God will challenge and God will test your faith. So don't leave here and say, well, if I just do everything right, good things are going to happen. No, you have to do what God said to do. And in the end, God is going to do it for his glory and for your good. So his body changed. He walked. His behavior changed. All right? His behavior changed. He went back and told these people in verse number 15. He departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. You say, preacher, what makes that such a big deal? These folks hated Jesus. You think that bothered him? He looked them up. Yeah. He was bold. So he went from walking to worshiping to witnessing. He said, oh, by the way, hey, you were the man who asked me about, he said, who done that for me? He said, I just want you to know his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You'll be telling people what Jesus done for you too. You say, well, I need God to do something in my life. The question this morning is not, do you need God to do something in your life? We all do. Some on a different level than others. But do you want him to? Wilt thou be made whole. Let's stand. Now, somebody can get some help this morning. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or you're watching by live stream, but now we're going to have to do this God's way. I've been pastoring long enough to know that we take some of what God says and then we add what we want to do with it, and then when it doesn't work, we say, well, you know what? I did what God said. Nope. Got to do it exactly like God said. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. He got up, he rose, He took up his bed and he walked. He was able to do exactly what Jesus commanded him to do. Why? Because he gave him the power to do it. Now, what has Jesus come to you about? What has God come to you about? What do you need in your life? What do you want God to do? So, well, preacher, I want God to do, and you can fill in the blank. Could be your marriage. I don't know. Could be your family. Could be your finances. Could be your health. I don't know. See, we're here today like this, and we look around and we say, well, I tell you, this is like a pretty good group, pretty healthy group. We never know. We never know what could transpire. We never know what's in the heart of a man or a woman, this young lady, young man that's here. Trouble, hardship, sorrow. Very real to that individual. And yet they have pressed on and come to God's house today. And God spoke to your heart today because you know, I want God to do something real in my life. How can I get it? You've got to set aside all this tradition now. Got to set all that aside. Set aside the waters and the moving of the waters and the men putting you in. Set aside all that stuff and get real with God and say, God, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. And when he says rise, if he says rise, you rise. If he says take up thy bed, take up thy bed. If he says walk, walk. If he says repent, repent. If he says go to that person and tell them this, you go to that person and tell them that. If he says do this, do whatever God says do, you do it. He'll give you the strength to do it, and you won't be sorry. We bow our heads together. The pianist begins to play.